This is ACC CardiaCast, a series on the latest clinical education brought to you by the American College of Cardiology.
Welcome to another podcast from the ACC program, Cardiovascular Disease and Diabetes, Reducing the Burden. Today we'll be doing a journal club discussing a paper about coronary artery calcium scoring in patients with type 2 diabetes. My name is Michael Blaha. I'm a cardiologist from Johns Hopkins Hospital. I'm joined by Dr. Silvio Inzucchi from Yale, who's an endocrinologist. So we'll be discussing this paper by Shasta Malik and Nathan Wong from JAMA Cardiology, looking in the multi-ethnic study of atherosclerosis of the risk predictive value of coronary calcium in type 2 diabetes. Of course, this is an important question because we used to consider patients with type 2 diabetes as a homogeneous group with CHD equivalent risk. In other words, all these patients being high risk. But now we know that type 2 diabetes is a heterogeneous group with some patients that are lower risk and some patients are higher risk. And maybe this has implications for choosing pharmacotherapy in the modern era. So what they did in this paper is looked at about 900 patients from the multi-ethnic study of atherosclerosis who have diabetes, who had baseline coronary calcium scores, looked to see if those calcium scores predicted risk on top of risk factors over about 11-year follow-up. In addition, they looked for risk reclassification to see if the calcium score moved patients down in the risk spectrum if they didn't have events, or moved patients up in the risk spectrum if they did have events. So that was really the setting of this paper, really adding to what we know about calcium scoring, because of course we know that it predicts risk in patients without diabetes, but this is one of the first solid publications looking at calcium scoring with diabetes. So Dr. Inzucchi, what did you think this paper showed?
Well, what they showed was that the addition of the coronary calcium score did have some impact on reclassification of risk. And as you mentioned, not all of our patients with type 2 diabetes are at extremely high risk as they were once thought. So when they applied the risk stratification based on routine risk factors and then complemented that with the coronary calcium score, they reclassified the patients with diabetes at about a 22% clip. So that means either up classifying them or down classifying them based on what they found in the coronary calcium. It sounds like a pretty substantial percentage of patients that would have been higher risk, but by risk scoring would not have been high risk,
right,
or would have been low risk after calcium scoring, and we would have considered them reasonably high risk. So I think it's an important observation.
Yeah, I do too. And actually, it showed that the calcium score predicts risk equally well in diabetics, people with metabolic syndrome, or people without either condition. So really, it seems like the calcium score is predicting risk regardless of who you are, which is interesting. And they did find about a third of the patients with type 2 diabetes had no calcium in their arteries, had a calcium score of zero. And those patients actually remained low risk, particularly those patients who had A1C that was less than 7 or non-insulin users or had diabetes for less than 10 years, which is maybe the kind of patients that are more likely to get this in clinical practice.
So I think this has broad implications. The first is obviously, you know, routine risk factor modification in terms of the aggressiveness of LDL lowering, for example. Particularly in regards to those patients that we can't get down to the targets of less than 70 with statins, should they be on PCSK9 inhibitors, for example. The other impact from a diabetologist standpoint, as we know, there are new glucose-lowering medications,
right,
that have significant benefits but have been studied mainly in very high-risk patients. In fact, the more impressive results have been in those patients with overt cardiovascular disease. So one of the questions that's percolating through our specialty is whether we can apply these data to those at lower risk, so-called primary prevention. And if we can identify a cohort of patients that are at extremely high risk, for example, based on coronary calcium score, should we apply these therapies to them, or at least set up some studies to assess these strategies in those patients?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think we are identifying kind of the new concept. Some have called it the primary and a half prevention, right? These patients that are primary prevention but have such an elevated burden of subclinical disease, such to put their event rate more like secondary prevention. And you're right, I'm thinking in my clinical practice nowadays about treating these patients very aggressively, not only with lifestyle but medicines. And with the new options in the lipid space and the diabetes space, it makes us think that maybe these patients need more aggressive care. But likewise, patients with a calcium score of zero, for example, maybe we have some time to focus on lifestyle first before we think about lots of different medicines. So I completely agree with you that risk stratification in diabetes, I think, is going to take on a greater role. This idea of primary and a half or advanced subclinical atherosclerosis and secondary prevention level event rates is intriguing. And if I'm not mistaken, right, empagliflozin, for example, has an indication from the FDA for cardiovascular risk lowering in patients with established CVD.
Correct.
And maybe these patients with elevated calcium scores and diabetes have, so to speak, established CVD.
Yeah, now in EMPA-REG, we had a wide variety of patients. We had patients that had had events, those that had prior ACS episodes and revascularization, but we also included patients with just peripheral arterial disease,
right,
or if they had gone to a cardiologist, had a stress test, and had an angiogram showing more than 50% lesion in one of their coronary arteries. So those patients are different, right? They're not at the same risk of having future events. So one question I had for you as a cardiologist is, in the diabetes clinics, at least the one that that I work in, we don't typically do coronary calcium scores, should we? And if so, should we be applying that to all our patients or certain subtypes of our patients?
I think that's a great question. That's a great question. Of course, calcium scoring is being used more and more often and all the time in the cardiology community. And I would anticipate the next set of guidelines will be even more favorable towards calcium scoring. I use calcium scoring a lot in my practice. And I think as cardiologists and endocrinologists continue to talk through these things, that it will be used more and more. So my answer is, yes, I do think calcium scoring has a role in diabetes. Maybe not all patients with diabetes. Obviously, that patient with diabetes has lots of microvascular disease. He's been on insulin for a long time. A1Cs that are under control. You probably don't need a calcium score to risk stratify that patient. But perhaps the diet-controlled or the metformin-controlled patient with diabetes with an A1C that's lower, it's a recent onset, shorter duration of diabetes, I think it makes a lot of sense to use calcium scoring there to plan the intensive, how intensive you're going to be with your strategy. So yeah, I'm starting to do that more and more in my practice.
Again, we should probably be a bit cautious in discussing the impact of coronary calcium scores. Certainly for risk stratification, it appears to be important.
Right.
But I don't know of any study that's looked at intervening in those patients to see whether more aggressive risk factor modification has a definite long-term impact.
And you're absolutely right about that. Unfortunately, where we stand at the field of calcium scoring right now is it's readily available. We can get it really with any multi-detector CT in any practice. But we don't have any studies that shows that after a calcium score, intervening in a particular way improves outcomes. We don't have a clinical trial showing that the new ASCVD risk score improves outcomes or that any risk score improve outcomes. So it's still this kind of middle ground of using risk in a smart way to potentially guide therapy that might make sense, but it's not evidence-based, unfortunately.
So I was involved in the DIAD study. This is a number of years ago, and we had this notion of screening patients with type 2 diabetes that had normal ECGs and no history or symptoms of cardiovascular disease. And we had a control group that was unscreened. And in that five-year study, what we found is lots of disease. I think it was about 22% of our patients had so-called silent ischemia. But when we compared their event rates over, again, 5 years to an unscreened population, they did about the same, suggesting that in the era of modern risk factor modification with good glycemic control, aggressive lipid management, adequate blood pressure control, that knowing about the presence of silent coronary disease doesn't necessarily impact events over time.
It's a great point. I think that's where the field needs to go, studies that need to be done to prove that point. So wonderful discussion. Thank you very much. I think it's an important paper, something at least to think about calcium scoring and type 2 diabetes. And thank you for joining us for this podcast.
This has been the ACC CardiaCast, your latest education from the American College of Cardiology. Go to acc.org to find this and other additional resources related to today's show.